A high-profile Texas attorney in hot water accused of sneaking an abortion medication into his wife's water for weeks. But why? Because he's having an affair and he didn't want to, quote, look like a jerk. Guess what? You look like a jerk and you're going to go to jail. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and SiriusXM 111. Let those words just soak in. A lawyer obviously knows better. Sneaks abortion-inducing drugs into his wife's beverages for weeks. Why? Because he is having a sex affair and he didn't want to look like a jerk to his girlfriend, to his mistress, by leaving his wife when she's pregnant. Guys, let's just kick it off with this from our friends at Crime Online.
Mason Herring and his wife, Catherine, seem to have it all. Mason Herring, 38, is the founder and managing partner of Herring Law Firm, which specializes in oil rig litigation. Catherine Herring, also 38, is an artist and founder of the online shop Old Southern Charm. The couple have two children, but Catherine Herring suspects that her husband is lying about where he's going and what he's doing. Catherine believes Mason is continuing an affair with a woman who had worked for him. Trying to reconcile, the couple begin going to marriage therapy. And that's where Mason Herring learns he will be a father for the third time.
Okay, before I go any further, let me just go straight out to Dr. Angela Arnold, renowned psychiatrist, joining us from the Atlanta jurisdiction. She's at AngelaArnoldMD.com. Dr. Angie, is it true that even after your spouse cheats like H-E-double-L, has sex like a bunny everywhere he can, people actually work through that and they stay together?
That's very rare, Nancy.
So is that a yes? People actually work through it and stay together?
It's barely a yes, Nancy.
It's barely a yes. Is it a yes or a no? Do people stay in it even when the other is cheated? I don't mean just once. I mean like bunnies breeding in the backyard.
It's very unlikely, Nancy.
Can't believe they even went to therapy. Okay, let's just start it right there.
Nancy, the therapy is a ruse, usually.
A ruse for what?
It's a ruse to buy him a little time. He thinks he's going to get away with this.
Oh, is it like those people that claim they are sex addicts?
In what way, Nancy?
Well, I mean, every time a Hollywood star gets busted at something, they claim busted cheating, they claim they're a sex addict.
Yes.
And they go into therapy.
Sure.
Then they get out, then they do it again.
Right. Everybody has to put a name on everything, don't they?
Well, I guess they do it because they want to. Does that equal being an addict?
Yes.
Okay. So if I just misbehave because I want to, that means I'm an addict.
Well, it depends on how much you misbehave. Everything's sort of on a continuum, Nancy.
Okay. Well, he is definitely at one far end of the spectrum here because not only is he having an affair, he says he's going to stop the affair, but the wife thinks he doesn't. To Daryl Cohen joining me, a high-profile lawyer out of the Atlanta jurisdiction as well, former prosecutor, felony prosecutor, now defense attorney. Daryl Cohen, did you hear that he is into oil rig litigation? You know, law, any type of law, can be very, very challenging. That's why they make movies about law school. It's really hard. But the people that specialize in, for instance, oil and gas rights, water rights, but I've always been intrigued by people that specialize in oil and gas rights. That's very complicated law. You know that, right?
Well, Nancy, it's complicated, but the problem with him is, I suspect, is he thinks he's so bright that he forgets the little things, like it's against the law. Hey, why would I be separated from my wife? Oh, I am having an affair. Oh, I got it. But it's okay. It's me, because it's all about me, and I can't look like a jerk to my girlfriend, who I shouldn't be seeing.
Okay, I just said all of that. I asked you about oil rig litigation and how difficult it was.
Yeah, well, it is difficult.
And then you go off and you repeat everything I said in the open.
Well, I did that, Nancy, because oil
Echo
and gas
chamber.
Is what we
That's
all use.
That's your new nickname, Daryl E.C. Cohen, Echo Chamber. What I'm asking about is how difficult is the oil and gas litigation, the oil rig litigation. It's really complicated.
It's very complicated, and it's so specialized. There are very few lawyers that engage in oil and gas litigation because it is so specialized. And in order to develop that specialty, you have to develop an expertise and at the same time also obtain the clients who are going to pay you as you continue to develop your expertise.
Like $500 to $1,000 an hour is what we're talking about. But you know what, Daryl? I'm going to go to Dr. Maroney on this as well. Daryl Cohen, it's just like, you know, a will and probate lawyer, oil rig lawyer. They could not go into court and try a murder case. So they may think that's complicated. But to me, when I hear somebody is in oil rig litigation, you got to really know your stuff to go. You can't fake your way through that. It's incredibly complex. My point is, this guy's got to be super smart. Hey, Dr. Maroney with me, and I'm going to go off point here. Dr. Maroney, longtime colleague and friend, renowned chief medical examiner in Bay County, Michigan, author of American Narcan, and you can find him at recoverypathwaysllc.com. But this guy, Dr. Maroney, my friend, believes so much in helping others and healing the sick. He has created and mans a mobile unit to help people that are addicted to drugs and save their lives. I just wanted to tell you that about him. Dr. Maroney, my question to you is, I'm sure being a medical doctor, you fraternize with a lot of other doctors, and the rest of the world looks at doctors as being almost omniscient. They know everything, and they're super brilliant. Same thing here. Do you see doctors that are so smart and so accomplished cheating and running around and just doing the most stupid things?
All the time. They have too much money. Their egos get in the way. And whether it's a doctor or a lawyer, they think they can get excused with bad behavior, and that marital counseling is very specific to doctors and lawyers. They think if they can medicalize deviance, their medicalization of deviance, then they're not doing something that's like really wrong. Clinically, maybe they're depressed and there's an outlet. They're looking for something. The medicalization of deviance has been rolling out in American culture for the last 30, 40 years, trying to expose, somewhat bad behavior is not that bad if you can medicalize it.
You mean when you're saying, I'm just sitting here trying to figure this out, and with all my degrees, it took me a minute to figure out what you're saying. You're saying medicalizing deviant behavior. Is that what he just said? Okay. Now, let me translate.
Yes.
Let me dumb it down, okay? So even I can understand it. You're saying that people's bad behavior is given diagnosis like sex addiction so that somehow goes, oh, it's not their fault, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because
okay, I got
you. You treat sex addiction with counseling, and then you're supposed to get better. What we want to do with addiction, whether it's the sex addiction or anything else, is try to look at a medical model as to how to help people. But other people use that medical model to explain how they made bad decisions.
Okay, you know what? My husband could explain it all he wanted to, but it'd be over. Because you know what, Maroney? You've known me long before I got married and had the children, and now I've got them. And I can tell you this much. It will be a cold day in H-E-double-L that I mess this up. Because I hit the jackpot. I've got the twins. I've got a husband. He's fairly smart, and he has full insurance and all of his teeth. I mean, I got it, okay? And I am not going to go cheat with somebody and lose all that. No way.
And he's tall and handsome.
You know, I think he is.
He is.
He is.
And another thing, he puts up with my mother who lives with us, okay, which was all my idea. But my point is, I'm working up to a point. Dr. Angie Arnold, here's this guy, a lawyer, an oil rig litigation lawyer, so smart, all that money, beautiful wife, she's pregnant, and what does he do? He cheats. Do cheaters ever think, wow, if I got caught, I'm going to lose everything? Or do they just follow their pee-pee wherever it leads them?
They don't think that, Nancy, because they're the severest of narcissists. Ugh. And they need constant input from other people. So the fact that she has two children and she's gotten pregnant with the third means that she's not paying as much attention to him as he thinks he requires.
Wow, can you imagine that? Taking care of a home and a family and working, and you don't have enough time for your husband, plus she's pregnant?
And Nancy, they don't look
for... Why does he think he should have all that time? She's obviously doing the yeoman share of work.
Honey, somebody batted their eyes at him because they knew how much money he was making.
Don't tell a man the woman only wants him for his money.
Mm-hmm.
Do not do that.
Well, they do.
I would never tell Daryl Cohen that. No way. Ego.
Never tell the truth. Always lie.
Yeah, never.
Stories with Nancy Grace.
Okay, back to this woman. You know, Maroney, I don't know why you got off on this topic, but I want to get back to this woman, Catherine Herring, and this husband, the lawyer Mason Herring. Take a listen to our friends at Crime Online.
At their counselor's suggestion, Mason and Catherine Herring spend spring break with their children in West Texas. Mason Herring reportedly takes an interest in his wife's nutrition, encouraging her to stay hydrated. Telling Catherine she needs to drink more, Herring brings her water. Just 30 minutes later, Catherine becomes very ill with diarrhea and cramps. Within hours, she is severely bleeding. At a local hospital, she provides a urine sample that is nearly black in color.
Okay, urine that is black in color? Dr. William Maroney joining me, Chief Medical Examiner. Please do not start using Latin terms or medical terms. Okay, and tell me why anybody's urine would be black.
Her urine's black because she's bleeding internally and the blood is oxidizing.
You said oxidizing, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's
you
a
mean the blood
word.
Is getting in her urine?
Yes, because one of the effects of misoprostol, this abortion drug that they're using, is it creates cramping in the kidneys, cramping in the bowels. Cramping, spasms. That's one of the reasons why she went to the hospital bleeding and with diarrhea, because the drug causes cramping. So that cramping in the kidneys, squeezing down, is squeezing blood into the urine, and that's causing her diarrhea. And that's how this works in an abortifacient way. It causes cramping in the uterus and dilation of the cervix. And gravity and cramping pass the fetus. And that's how it works.
You know, Dr. Maroney, I would put you on the witness stand in a New York minute, because when you were describing that and you were saying squeezing, I thought Jackie here in the studio, I mean, her face contorted in a way I've never seen when you were describing why this woman's urine was black. So she takes a sip of water that the lawyer husband gives her, and immediately, 30 minutes, horrible cramps, diarrhea, and she urinates urine black in color. Well, that's not all. First of all, why is he so interested in her hydration? Okay, right there, that's a red flag to me. But that said, maybe other people, couples, are interested in each other's hydration. We don't really talk about it very much in our home. But Take a listen to this.
Back at home, Mason Herring's attentiveness continues. One day, Mason stops by the home to bring Catherine breakfast in bed and offers her some water. Catherine Herring thought it was odd that the water was cloudy, but Mason allegedly tells her that the discoloration is a result of the cup of water or pipes being dirty. Catherine again becomes severely ill, experiencing cramps and bleeding, again ending up in the hospital, but doctors could not figure out what was wrong. Catherine Herring becomes suspicious, refusing other drinks, including a bottle of orange juice with a broken seal, according to published reports.
Dave Mack, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, let me understand this. He keeps bringing her cloudy water and blames it on bad pipes. Why would she drink it anyway? Why would you give your pregnant wife dirty water to drink?
Okay, that was the very first time. So when you realize that he is actually doing what the marriage counselor has suggested, he's being attentive, he's bringing her some water. Now, this is the first time, okay? And he has a legitimate, maybe the cup's dirty, maybe the pipes are dirty, you know, she drinks it.
Wait a minute, Dave Mack, you know, your wife seems like a wonderful person. I find it really hard to believe that if you took her a glass of water that was dirty, that she'd just drink it. I'd say, you go take that, wash the glass, or just bring me another glass. You know what? Forget it. Bring me a bottle of water.
If I brought her cloudy water, she'd throw the water and the cup at me and make me go back and do it again.
Exactly. You know, yeah. Justin Boardman is with us, former Special Victims Unit detective in West Valley, Utah, author of I Was Wrong, Investigators' Battle Cry for Change in the Special Victims Unit. And you can find him at justinboardman.com. Justin, thank you for being with us. Have you noticed in all of your work that so often crime victims have a relationship, a trusting and, they think, loving relationship with the perpetrator?
Yeah, they do have this kind of relationship with the offender, or in this case, their husband. It gets back to a lot of psychology, but what you can tell with this person is we can break it down and peel back the onion. It gets down to power and control. And he has so much confidence in his power and control that he will give her a cloudy glass of water. He's not thinking about this crime very well. I mean, really, you want to cover that up with some sort of colored liquid, not just clear water. He's just very narcissistic. He's not afraid of any of these, of himself getting caught. He was extremely stupid through this whole entire thing, which, luckily enough, most criminals are, and they make a lot of mistakes. But yes, love and danger can coexist, and you can look through their history. They're already having problems. He's controlling her, even having sex while he's having sex with somebody else, and they are trying to work on their marriage and impregnates her.
And that goes back to not wanting to look like a jerk in front of his girlfriend. Guys, so far we've had orange juice that was suspicious. We have had water that was suspicious. Take a listen to this.
Take it back to February when the couple was separated and it came out that she was pregnant with his child.
That wasn't well received by him.
From there, Herring's wife recalled several instances when he provided her with glasses of water that appeared suspicious. The first time, she became violently ill after drinking it and went to the hospital.
You are hearing our friends at KTRK. So she becomes so suspicious, she invites friends over as witnesses. You know what this reminds me of, Daryl Cohen? It reminds me of so many married women or women in relationships that would actually tell their friends, if anything happens to me, he did it. If anything happens to me, the key to the house is in my secret compartment in the back of my car. They know something, but they don't know what they know. Have you ever encountered that?
Oh, absolutely, Nancy. Look, I tell my daughters, keep your head on a swivel. And that doesn't mean just looking for the obvious physical threats. It means look at people around you who may do something other than just attack you physically. And in this case, he attacked her with adulterated water, trying to have her have an abortion. So, yeah, I see it happen all of the time. But what I don't understand stand, and because I'm not a woman, I never will. If I saw this type of thing happening, get the heck away. Say goodbye. Be gone.
You're
be
right.
Done. Hocus pocus. You're out of here.
You know, Dr. Angie Arnold, that's a really good point. And I always think that people, in this case, this woman, wants to believe in the fairy tale. They want the Hallmark card. They want the happy family, the husband, to love her and be a great dad. They're invested in it. She's been married for all these years, although they're both fairly young. She's already got two children, a third on the way, and she wants it desperately, so desperately that she doesn't want to see what's really happening.
Nancy, it happens all the time. And people are blinded by that. And Nancy, I've got to tell you, it is so hard to convince people. You and I can see it. You and I can see that someone is dealing with a narcissist, or they're the victim of intimate partner violence, which I have to wonder if there was something like that going on. It's so very hard to talk about. It is, and then the woman is even more vulnerable because now she is pregnant again. And you know what, Nancy? Let's point out this fact. Does anybody know what the number one killer of women who are pregnant to 1 year postpartum is?
Homicide.
Homicide. That is a scary statistic, isn't it?
Yeah, the significant other.
Jump in.
It's always.
Yeah, by intimate partners.
Is that Dr. Maroney?
Yeah.
Go ahead, doctor.
What we see is women are at high risk before the pregnancy. They're consumed with the hormones of pregnancy that make them care about the baby, think about themselves, but then their risk with violent partners accelerates after the babies are delivered, so that it's almost three times normal in violent relationships. And the hormones of pregnancy will actually affect the brain and cause the pregnant patient to want to continue the pregnancy and thoughts of the baby and things like that. So they're not thinking about how evil or distracted this other person is or how toxic they are, and they're likely to be more forgiving.
You know what, Dr. Maroney, you're really hitting the nail on the head here, because she's in the middle of this pregnancy with two other children to take care of. The husband's gone all the time, so it's all on her. She may not have been thinking clearly because of what you're saying, the hormonal issues. But what Dr. Angie's saying as well, she doesn't want to know that anything's bad. She wants to believe desperately that everything's going to, quote, be okay. But you're giving me a physiological reason that she is not paying attention to other details. But at some point, she becomes so suspicious, she invites witnesses over. Take a listen to this.
Catherine Herring sets up a camera in the home. She also invites friends over to be witnesses during Mason's visits. During this occasion, Mason allegedly tries to give his wife a drink, even though she already has two beverages. Catherine tells investigators that she and her guest saw an unknown substance floating in the drink given to her. Back to the home camera, 2 days later, surveillance video captures Mason pulling out a Ziploc from his pocket and mixing a powdered substance into the glass of cranberry juice. Catherine Herring checks the garbage cans and finds a pharmaceutical called Cyrex, which contains misoprostol. Misoprostol is a drug used to induce abortions.
This guy is really worried about her hydration. Did you hear that? She's got witnesses over, and she has put in a video recorder. And even though she already has two drinks, he insists that she drinks some cranberry juice. You know what's interesting? Do you see Dave Mack, how he's switching MOs in that he brought water and she could look at it until it was cloudy. Then he tried orange juice. Now he's trying cranberry juice, I guess, to cover up the taste of the drug.
He's trying to do everything he can to learn from his previous mistakes. And the thing is, Nancy, I was looking this over and wanted to ask you, it seemed to me, based on the fact that he tries to put it in with the water, okay? And she catches that, the cloudy water, dirty glass, whatever it is. But it happened at a time when their marriage counselor said, why don't you two spend spring break together with the kids and try to work on things? And you know he doesn't want to be there. He's already mad she's pregnant because she told him during a counseling session. So he picked this time when everybody thinks we're lovey-dovey getting back together to try to poison her the first time. He realizes he gets busted, so now he's covering up from orange juice to cranberry juice. But he does something else out of character. Nancy, he cleaned up after himself and threw away what would be considered evidence to a police officer, the stuff containing this misoprostol, but it was out of character. His wife said he never cleaned up anything. He didn't take the garbage out.
Justin Boardman, did you hear what Dave Mack just pointed out? Justin, have you ever noticed how often people become neatniks after they commit a crime? You got Jodi Arias doing Travis Alexander's laundry after she stabs him to death in the fridge. You've got Scott Peterson cleaning up the house after Lacey goes missing. I mean, I could give you a million examples. Have you? When I see a guy start cleaning the house, he did it.
You're right. Absolutely. And, you know, again, it's out of his character, which she was smart enough to get a camera out towards the garbage can area and see him take garbage from the truck, which you probably rarely cleaned out, and take that to the garbage can. She certainly outsmarted him in evidence gathering.
Catching him, emptying the garbage, caught you being good again, taking out the trash. But that's not the whole story. Justin Boardman is right. Take a listen to Mackay Hatfield, KTRK.
It was later tested, and a charging document alleges that misoprostol, an abortion-inducing drug, was found in the water. The prosecutor says Herring's wife set up cameras, which led to more damning evidence.
From the camera inside the kitchen, you see him pull out a powdered substance, make a drink, and then mix the powder into the drink. And then she obviously said that he then brought her that drink.
The woman turned the evidence over to police, and Herring was soon after arrested in the airport after returning from Las Vegas.
This is the first time I've seen something like this.
Wow. The first time that that type of behavior has been seen. Let's go to Dr. William Maroney, Chief Medical Examiner. What is misoprostol or Cyrex? What is that?
It's like a synthetic hormone, and it works by causing the uterus to contract. The uterus contracts, the bowels contract, and it restricts blood flow to the baby. So you restrict blood flow to the placenta, you restrict blood flow to the baby, and then you force the uterus to contract. So that drives the medical processes to an abortion. And if it happens, we actually use this right before women go to the hospital, but then they don't progress. So it's applied to thin the uterus and start contractions to help. But while you're full and healthy and you're pregnant, you're not supposed to take it. And when we give this at the hospital, it's supervised. It's a certain milligram. Nurses are watching you. You have baby monitors. You have a contractile monitor monitoring everything else. And if you begin to track too much contraction, then we take you to cesarean section. So in a healthy way, just for a few minutes, the day you're supposed to deliver, this medicine helps you deliver vaginally. Can I say vagina on the radio?
Yeah.
So it's helpful. And we apply it to the cervix, and then you get a natural delivery. But if you take this before you go in to deliver, it's damning. And she could bleed to death.
Guys, we're talking about a drug hidden in this woman's various beverages. It's called misoprostol or Cyrex. And the kicker is he didn't try it just once. Take a listen, our friends, KTRK.
At least six times over the course of just over a month, the woman says her husband brought her drinks that he encouraged her to drink.
Gave her a bottle of orange juice, and she observed that the seal on the bottle was broken.
Surveillance cameras inside their home caught Herring putting a powdered substance from a bag in his pocket into a drink that he gave her, according to the prosecutor. She also found opened blister packs that contained Cyrex, the Mexican pharmaceutical that contains the drug misoprostol, in their trash.
He observed the defendant cleaned out his truck and took the trash out to the curb. She stated this was out of character for the defendant, as he does not do chores around the house.
Oh yeah, he turned into a neatnik suddenly, and that raised her suspicion.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
It's not the first time a husband has tried to poison his wife around the time of pregnancy. Take a listen to our friend Karen Drew, WDIV.
When do you start thinking about her breast milk and how that can come to play in solving her murder?
Being a mom who breastfed, it came to my mind within a couple of days. And I know how breast milk works, so it would be in there.
Arnold says the family told police about having Christy's breast milk and asking it to be tested.
She had a small house. She had a small freezer. She kept backups at her parents' house and at her uncle's house.
5 years would pass. Then, recently, the Genesee County prosecutor announced charges against Jason Harris for murdering his wife.
We believe he put heroin into her cereal and milk the night that she died.
In that case, Christy Harris died of a heroin overdose, and it was deemed an accidental overdose. Now, this is while she was breastfeeding her new baby. The infant was just weeks old. Her sisters, Christy's sisters, could not believe that she A, used drugs, and B, OD'd. Just impossible. Years pass. They know the husband did this to her, but they can't prove it. And they remember her breast milk that she had saved was still in a fridge. They have the breast milk. They analyzed it and proved that she had not been using drugs, that she was poisoned at the time of her death. So to you, Dr. Maroney, how could heroin kill you? How does an OD work with heroin?
Opiates at a high dose are a very simple, fast death. It tells the brain to stop breathing. All drug overdoses have a specific action, but heroin or opioid pharmaceuticals are very simple. They get to a certain place in the brain and they say, stop breathing. And there's absolutely no way you should be exposed to heroin if you're a normal person at home and you have babies, you have a job, you're breastfeeding, that just doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
That was an excellent example of forensic medicine. And heroin overdoses are fast. You go down fast. You stop breathing.
Really fast. When they found her, Dr. Maroney, she was already cold to the touch. A neighbor looked in the window and saw her lying in bed, thought she was asleep. Several hours passed. They go back. She's still there. That's when they find out mommy is dead. Here is another example where the spouse was smart enough to use a video cam. Now, I want you to hear our cuts 9 and 10, our friends at ABC.
Radiologist Jack Chen says he noticed a chemical taste in his drinks in March. He set up a hidden camera in their kitchen, capturing video evidence of his wife, Yu Yu, allegedly taking Drano from under the sink and pouring it into his lemonade in three separate instances in July. A doctor diagnosed Chen with two stomach ulcers, gastritis, and esophagus inflammation.
These surveillance images show the moments a California man says he was secretly poisoned by his wife. The images, part of a restraining order filing by Dr. Jack Chen against his wife of 10 years, Dr. Emily Yu.
This poisoning occurred over a period of time that caused him in part to suspect his wife was poisoning him. And so he placed surreptitious recording devices in the home.
The 45-year-old dermatologist was placed under arrest and later released on $30,000 bail.
You know, I find it really interesting, Dr. Angie Arnold, psychiatrist joining us from Atlanta, that the spouse is so suspicious, they actually put in a recording video device to prove what they know inside is the truth.
Well, they also know, Nancy, that they have to get hard evidence to prove it. Who's going to believe this? It's so unbelievable that someone would kill their wife this way, isn't it?
In this case, it was a female doctor poisoning her husband, doctor, with Drano, and he catches on video, Dr. Maroney, her, the wife, with a big bottle, and it says Drano on the front of it, pouring it into his drink. He had some kind of a morning concoction that he would drink. She was pouring it right in there.
He had the camera under the sink.
Yes.
It was like 6 inches away from the Drano, and she would reach in there. It was time and date stamped. I remember this.
He had dual cameras, the one in the cabinet where you see her hand come in there and get the Drano, and then the other camera was a long shot of her pouring it in the drink. And he went to the doctor, and his insides were totally torn up, Dr. Maroney.
Yeah, Drano will eat you away like acid. It's lye. And it'll look like you're having a natural stomach problem, a gastritis or an esophagitis that you would have from excessive acid, but it eats you fast. And then you perforate and bleed and die.
Just like that. That guy lived. He managed to live, and this video is supporting his case. Now, earlier we were talking about, I think it was Daryl Cohen brought up, but I think Justin Borman said it too. Guys, the arrogance of the killer, the arrogance of the husband trying to poison his wife to induce an abortion so he wouldn't look like a, quote, jerk to his girlfriend, leaving his wife with a newborn baby. She's going to get rid of the baby and then leave her. Speaking of arrogance, the case I just told you about where the female doctor poisons her husband doctor. Listen to the arrogance of this woman. Take a listen to our cut 12, KCAL.
When I was looking through the court papers, what it said was that at one point she called her husband and asked if he would bail her out, but he refused. The district attorney has not filed charges against her yet. I also learned today that Jack Chen's lawyer went to the jail when Yu was still in jail and presented her with this restraining order. She seemed a bit confused about all of it, and he said to her, well, you've been poisoning your husband. That's why we're getting a restraining order.
So she can't imagine, Daryl Cohen, wow, they're filing a restraining order against me? Does this mean I can't see my children? Why? And then calls the husband she tried to poison dead with Drano and asks him to post her bond. They need to have her picture beside the definition of arrogance in the dictionary.
It's arrogance. It's I am cool. It's all about me. How could I possibly do that? I'm a physician. You're a physician. It's strictly a mistake. Drano has nothing to do with what was in your beverage. I mean, Nancy, this is what happens when people think they're above the law and they know more than everyone else combined. That's why so many criminals are apprehended, prosecuted, and convicted, because they know more than all of us.
Or at least they think they do, Daryl Cohen. And Justin Boardman, isn't that true in your experience working with so many crime victims? Very often the defendant's caught because they're smarter than everybody in the room, or so they think.
Correct. A lot of them do get caught and believe that they are smarter than everyone in the room. And sadly, in my specialty on the sexual assault side, more suspects do get away with that and do get caught. But in domestic violence, that pattern, they're going to keep on doing it, and it's going to keep escalating until they eventually kill.
Well, I've got a newsflash for everybody. I'm running out of things to drink. Okay, there's water, there's orange juice, there's cranberry juice, there's my morning concoction of whatever that doctor was drinking, all kind of fruit juices and veggie juices put together. Now, coffee's out. Take a listen to our cut 13. My friend Jim Murray at Inside Edition.
Chilling video from a camera hidden in a family's kitchen. It catches a husband poisoning his wife's coffee. Brian Kozlowski put the equivalent of 8 sleeping pills in the pot, swishing it around to make sure it was mixed in. The camera was placed there by his wife, who'd grown suspicious when she started feeling tired the days he made her coffee. The couple was divorcing but still lived together.
So, Dave Mack, there is no shortage of spouses poisoning each other. It seems to be happening every other day. What's the status of this case against this lawyer, this oil rig litigator, Mason Herring?
Oh, believe it or not, this one is new, okay? So it is still winding through the process. He will be in court day after tomorrow. He'll be in court in the next few days, and he's facing assaulting a pregnant person, assault, force, induction to have an abortion. That second charge came into play based on what's happened in Texas with regard to abortions. We're talking about a sentence of 2 to 10 years behind bars and a fine of about 10 grand.
2 to 10? This could have killed her. Maroney, Dr. Maroney, couldn't this have killed her?
This would have killed her by causing her to bleed uncontrollably with overcontracted bowels and uterus.
I think they should add an attempted murder charge to this. And wow, it looks like his plan to avoid looking like a jerk didn't work out. I hope his girlfriend's drinking all this in. Pardon the pun. We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.